The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. This is Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say on the open line today till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, Ramsay MHK and former Health and Social Care Minister Laurie Hooper MHK has been critical of a number of decisions made in Tymal this week. He criticised the Health Department's approach to a motion seeking the additional £15.3 million. The Liberal van leader also hit out at the 18 MHKs and 6 MLCs who voted against an amendment that would have recognised the cost of living when setting a minimum wage. So he's not happy at the moment. We'll hear from Mr. Hooper later. Right, let's get to the phones. And David's with us. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just to give you an update, too. Remember some weeks ago I had Live Electrical here and the boys there. Now I've got three guys on the roof putting me panels in. So by this afternoon or tonight, I'll be a substation in Onchan.
You'll be electrified.
I'll be electrified. They're definitely going to plug me in. And I just wanted a little comment before I go on to the subject matter of the Chief Minister and Hooper, is that, you know, that the only thing with DEFA, and I did challenge the Minister when I went to the meeting, when they met the Ministers there, they've not put out that thing where you can get grant aid assistance. Now, that's going to help a lot of people in the future, so that needs to be done instead of some of the harebrained schemes or things they're talking about in Tymal over the last few days. And that's my opinion on that. And the good news I'm going to have for you too, Andy, is by at least Monday anyway, I'll have a statement regarding vehicles when they're abandoned, when they're going to go to heaven and crushed. And there'll be a definitive answer from the, God bless them, the DOI, because there are loads of vehicles around the Isle of Man just sitting there on end. Belgravia Road is definitely one of them near Onchan Park there. And all they're doing is collecting, well, the carpets of moss underneath some of them. We can't even actually sweep the streets because the vehicle's there and they never move. So it's a good day for me because I'm getting all this information and your listeners are going to get it too. And as for the fight between the Chief Minister and Hooper, Mr. Hooper, if he's not listening, he won't be. He's in Tymal. I've heard him today. Needs to get a life. He really needs to get a life instead of criticising the council ministers or the new health minister, which I think she's doing a fine job at the minute. Can you imagine getting the call to be the minister for health and saying, I want you to look at everything in here. You've got all the support you can get from your members. Whether they're all in Tymal or not, there's still, I think, eight of them that are claiming the 67,000 and doing nothing. They're an embarrassment to us as a government, if I could say that, Andy, and I can prove it. All right, mate?
All right, good to hear from you.
See you, boy.
Cheers now. Plug in well this afternoon. Got a message in from Freddie who said, what about that conversation between Mr. Cannon and Claire Christian when she was offered the job? Claire, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is I'm offering you a position in Comin. The bad news is it's health. I'm sure he didn't say that, but it is. It's an onerous task being in charge there, isn't it? Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, I'm over near the power station. It's a bit loud. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. Well, near the power station.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, the FC Isle of Man home for Ravens. It's got the sign up there. I'm just in the bus station.
Oh, right.
I thought I'd have a chat to you about something I've noticed.
Yeah.
I realised why Apple is such a billion-dollar company.
Go
Basically,
on.
when I want a keyboard for my iPads, and there's all these adverts about, you know, wrist switches and things like that with Apple keyboards on Facebook and things like that, and everything that you can get into. No one really knows what's behind any of those. So they've got the store, and they've also got the high street, in terms of, like, they've got the actual store on their phone
yeah.
they actually buy from. So it's just a recurring algorithm, you know? Do you not think?
Well,
or am
Apple,
I going up the wrong spout?
No, the thing is that Apple started before everybody else, didn't they? They started back in the 70s, so they got a head start on absolutely everybody.
Oh, did they? Did they now? What about Ubuntu?
Well, there we are. You never know, do you? So why...
They've got
why,
their arse sorted out. So they've got, why, they've, got, the, they've why, got themselves sorted out.
Why are you Paul Rose Bridge, Robert?
Well, I wanted to go to Starbucks to buy a keyboard, but I seem to be going a bit west. You know when they say you've gone a bit west?
I think you may be, yes.
I seem to have gone a bit west. I seem to have gone a bit off the map. I need to get back to basics.
Yes. You need to go round to the Peel Road and turn left.
Oh, here we are. There's a guy here. I better go.
Okay.
I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for that. Yes, Laurie Hooper is not happy. Laurie Hooper is criticising, as you heard David allude to, is criticising all sorts of things. These are... Well, here's Laurie Hooper for himself.
I think it's very rich coming from Laurie Hooper, who seems to think everybody is imperfect and everybody is wrong except himself.
There we are. That's the Chief Minister's response to Mr. Hooper. So, Laurie Hooper... What did he have to say?
They are just being dishonest with people about what they're doing. They are trying to pretend that we can carry on the way we are, that their decisions that they're making are not going to have real consequences for real people, and they're trying to plug the gap with these end-of-the-year supplementary votes. I mean, I just cannot believe anything they tell us anymore. I have zero confidence in her ability, not just to turn this around, but just generally. I think we have an incompetent administration that was being proven time and time again. We've just had a massive debate on the living wage where the government's own report contradicted some of the things the minister was telling Tim Wald. This administration has just lost the plot completely.
You're talking there about slashing services, reducing, you know, lengthening waiting lists. Is that just wishful thinking on your part, or is that really happening?
That's what they explicitly said they were doing in their mandate and operating plan. Manx Kerr's response to that was, do you not realise this will push up A&E wait times as well? Now, the minister may not be aware of what's in her own documents, but that is exactly what they've proposed to Tim Wald. That is exactly what they've instructed Manx Kerr to do. And in terms of building bridges, trust me, I have been trying to do that for my entire time in Tim Wald Court, but we've reached a stage where, like I said, because I can't trust what I'm being told by ministers, it is very hard to engage in any sort of constructive dialogue when you know full well the rug is going to be pulled out from under you.
There's Laurie Hooper. So, what did the Chief Minister have to say about what Mr. Hooper had to say?
I think it's very rich coming from Laurie Hooper, who seems to think everybody is imperfect and everybody is wrong except himself, and unless he's been specifically involved in that particular piece of legislation or the particular piece of policy. Frankly, I think Laurie Hooper's being ridiculous in his statements and you know, his allegations, you know, that people are being dishonest. It's just frankly not the case.
We're not even into election year yet. Are you expecting that more members will start making more outspoken and saying more outlandish things?
There are those of us that want to work and want to carry on working, and we'll continue to work and give absolutely every ounce of energy and commitment that we have and continuing to deliver. And if Laurie Hooper and others want to sit on the outside and throw rocks for the next 12 months on the basis that that's the foundation of their election campaign, absolutely welcome to it.
There is. That's the Chief Minister. Well, politicians do fall out. It's not unknown for politicians to fall out, and sometimes emotions run high. But on reflection, I just wonder what your thoughts are about what Mr. Hooper had to say and what the Chief Minister has to say. By the way, next Tuesday, Mr. Cannon will be in Max Radio. He's on Man in Line next Tuesday, 22nd, so you can actually chat to the Chief Minister and see what he has to say. Of course, we're this year, the last the year has finished, the parliamentary year has finished. Next one starts in October, and then, of course, it's the last one before the general election. Incidentally, Claire Christian, the DHSC minister, will be in August, in a few weeks' time, on Monday, the 11th of August. Claire Christian, MHA, will be here with her executive director, Tim O'Neill. So we'll hear what... what the situation is in DHSC. Oh, a note in from 528, who just says, sad to see Farragher's newsagent closed in Onchan. How long's it been there for? 70, 80 years? They did really well to keep it going through the last few years, being right on the road. Sad, as an old Onchan boy, the village I grew up in has disappeared. Well, sad to see that. Would it be not good to see the felled plantation trees being used as groins on Douglas Beach, along with Kurt Michael and perhaps dog mills, says Patricia on 829. Yes, they're doing some logging at the moment in the plantations, and they all seem to be going out through Mezeron, through Ramsey. Whereabouts in the UK they're going, we don't quite know what use they're being put to. The Victorians, says Patricia, put good use to everything they could get their hands on. And talking about the sunken gardens, they used to be an apprenticeship at Melafton and Harcroft, where the Douglas Council had their gardens. The plants grown there were spectacular and helped the not academically minded to have a future in horticulture. I'm an old codger. Oh, thank you, Patricia. But the decline in the Isle of Man and the way the young natives have been driven away beggars belief. How times change, eh? And a notice from Dick, who just said, only a few years ago, when Phil Gorn, our political correspondent, was in Tynwald, of course he was the DOI minister, Dick said, I remember Phil Gorn being on Manx Radio encouraging people to help cut back the hedgerows, roadways and paths. Now the woke police of the DOI say you can't touch them because you don't have training and you won't be covered by insurance. How ridiculous, says Dick. Well, times certainly do change. A note in from 830. Yes, surely Laurie Hooper needs to man up and stop moaning. Why doesn't he get a new job or just leave the government? Well, he did leave the government. He's a backbencher now. But, of course, he does have a job until September next year when the election is in. And we don't know whether Laurie Hooper is going to be standing in Ramsey. He did top the poll. Bearing in mind, he did top the poll. He stood many times, didn't get elected once, and then topped the poll last time. So you never know. Democracy is a multifaceted beast. I just want to say the traffic lights are barely visible in Glenvine due to overgrown bushes. Mrs. B, thank you, Mrs. B, on 247. An accident waiting to happen in Glenvine. Vegetation overgrown in many areas around the Isle of Man, including on the way to Ballabeg and on Johnny Watterson's Lane. Well, presumably they're getting round with the strippers and the strimmers, but just not in Glenvine. After spending the day in Ramsey Beach in front of the lifeboat station, I've decided to stand for the commissioners. If I get in, I'll put forward the cleaning of the beach and an increase of town wardens to try and control all the dog fouling in Ramsey. It's out of control. I'm a prospective candidate, says Big John. Well, not at the moment, you're not. But anyway, that brings me to tell you that there are elections taking place at the moment. Oh, and just about Ramsey, the reopening of Ramsey Swing Bridge to traffic appears to be some way off. It's been closed to traffic since January. They said it was going to open in March. DOI imposed the partial closure following a survey which revealed areas as a concern with the deck structure. In the latest update, DOI says it's still awaiting a design. It's still awaiting a design before repair work. January it closed. Still no fixed timescale for the reopening of Ramsey Swing Bridge. You can wander across it willy-nilly, but you just can't drive. Ramsey, January. It's now July. So, yes, there is an election taking place today, and if you are eligible to vote, then I urge you to go and vote. Eligible residents in Port Erin and Ramsey will be voting. In fact, they've been voting since 8 o'clock this morning. Eligible voters in the south will be able to choose two new members to join the local authority in the north, one vacant seat as well. Polling's taking place at Port Erin Commissioner's offices and Ramsey Town Hall. Both locations close at 8, and Manx Radio will have live reports. Tonight we have reporters at Port Erin Commissioner's offices and Ramsey Town Hall, and that'll be live tonight during Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. And Sue's on now. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. I was listening to the report that John Moss did the other morning about the DOI saying, and the footpaths, the DOI saying that they needed to take on a lot more staff and spend, what was it, £800,000 extra per year?
Oh, no, no, £1.5 million, £30,000 a week.
Okay. Well, I went to a couple of those listening to you meetings, and at the one in Peel, I actually approached the DOI, one of the DOI representatives that was there, and I suggested to him that all they needed to do to help maintain, do basic maintenance on the public rights of way, was to, for one of their members of staff who already works for the public rights of way department and hopefully walks some of the walks themselves, for them to contact all of the like walking groups, walking organisations, walking businesses, charities that could be involved, say like Men in Sheds who build and mend things, Manx Wildlife Trust who deal with all the wildlife, mental health charities, anybody who could have any involvement in maintaining, doing the basic maintenance of the public footpaths, they could contact them, get a list of people that are who would like to get involved, and create volunteer groups.
Yeah.
Who would be happy to go out and do basics of maintaining the public footpaths. Like Men in Sheds, I mean, they're more than capable of repairing stiles and fences and gates and things like that. And everybody else, I mean, I do a lot of walking. I have a dog, I walk him, but I do other walks as well. And you do often think to yourself, am I going to be able to walk this walk? Is it going to be overgrown? Are the sections of it going to be closed? And I would quite happily give up some of my free time to go along and help just keep those pathways open and do little bits of maintenance and maybe repairs. And then if you've got people sort of, I don't know, people who do suffer with the mental health. I mean, we're all told that being outside in the fresh air and in groups of people who are happy and enjoying what they're doing, then that is good for your mental health.
Sue, let me tell you, I mean, walking is one of life's best pleasures, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant, especially on this island, because we do have such beautiful scenery. And if they are maintained, the footpaths are wonderful. You know, so to just get a group of volunteers or many groups of volunteers, then the DOI wouldn't need to spend £1.5 million extra a year. They wouldn't need to take on so many extra people because they would have one person in their department just gathering this information, coordinating it. And then they could tell all the businesses and the groups that they've contacted, we will be advertising the areas that we want to maintain. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll put it on the government website. And if people are interested, can they let us know so that we know how many people and what sort of numbers we're looking at? And then they just need one person to go along and give out the equipment and just tell people what they're looking to be done.
Well, at the moment, what they've said, Sue, is that they don't want the public because the public aren't trained and aren't insured. So they want to do it themselves at £1.5 million a year.
I think this is all just excuses, though, Andy, isn't it? Because they know. Because during those listening to you meetings, it was quoted by people like Alf Patton that they are in a process of reducing the number of employees within the government. And although he then went on to state that they had created 1,800 extra jobs, and 450 of those were within the health service, but they are in a process of trying to reduce them. So they know that they're not going to be allowed extra staff. They know they're not going to be given a budget of £1.5 million to be able to just maintain footpaths.
Yeah.
So surely just change the insurance. Change the insurance a bit so that members of the public can go along and can maintain these wonderful footpaths.
Well,
and
the thing
it
is,
would open up.
Yeah, the thing is that beach buddies do this every Sunday morning. They go and clean beaches, and the beaches are the responsibility of DOI. I'm sure they are. So they can do that. And also, they issue their own insurance, don't they? When you do homestay, if you're part of the government, you get public liability insurance with that. So surely they know all about insurance. They could do this if they wanted.
Of course they could. They have the capability. But like I say, they just put up excuses, and the excuses are in the forms of, well, the public aren't insured, so we can't let the public do it, and we would need all of these extra employees and all of this extra money, knowing that they're not going to be granted that.
Yeah.
So they're just putting up excuses to drive industries like the walking tourism industry.
And exactly, that's the point. There are over 200 outstanding complaints regarding public rights of way at the moment, on record, over 200. And as you say, we advertise this, visit Isle of Man, plug the fact this is a great place to come on. And we all see the walkers walking around with their stout walking boots and their sticks and what have you. We see all the people. So what message are we sending to people if we're saying, come and walk, by the way, not down there because it's not fit?
Exactly. And I mean, there is the old Foxdale railway line. There's one section of that that has been shut for a very long time now because there's a wooden stairway that leads from a higher section to a lower section, and then you cross the road. I mean, you can get round it. It's very easy to get round it, but they have closed a small section of that public footpath. And that is because that stairway has been broken. I think the message that was on one network when I looked last year, it said that it should have been repaired between September 2023 and September 2024. Well, I went along there after September 2024 and that section was still closed. So I had another look on one network and it said now it's due to be repaired by July 2025. So it's obviously going on and on and on. And like I say, if they had, if they got organisations like Men in Sheds along who could build stairways, then yes, the right health and safety boxes would have to be ticked by the government, by the DOI. But at least the blooming thing would have been built.
So,
you know, you're not.
What's your message to the DOI then, Sue?
My message is just take the simple way, get yourself some voluntary organisations, sort the insurance out. It wouldn't take that much doing. Once you've got the people involved, then these footpaths will be open. They will be pleasant. Your tourism industry, for your walking industry, would increase. People would gladly come. I mean, if you've got tourists coming over to walk and they see that volunteers are maintaining the footpaths, then some of them would probably want to get involved themselves, and that would give them a higher feeling of gratitude, yeah, and fulfillment and achievement and everything like that, yeah, because then they are helping to do it. I mean, some people pay to do things like that across, because you have volunteer holidays for people who want to learn how to do dry stone walling and hedge laying. They pay a company and they go along, they learn a craft, they learn a skill, and while they're learning that skill, they're actually mending the blooming thing. Yeah. So,
well, actually,
you know, you go along.
Bill Dale will tell you, we often get some rather well-heeled people from some of the cruisers that come in who actually pay to join Beach Buddies, and they spend the morning clean. So they're on holiday, pay thousands, and then pay to take part cleaning our beaches. Win-win.
Yeah. And if the government caught on to that, they could say, OK, we'll advertise holidays for people to come along and help maintain our footpaths. They can learn crafts and skills like building walkways, like mending stiles and gates and fences. And it's just one of those things, Andy. If they put the brains in gear and stop being Muppets all the time, then they could actually make this island a very wonderful place. They're not doing that. They're ruining it. They are absolutely destroying this island.
Sue, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
OK, Andy.
All right, 12:30 on Manx Radio. I just wonder whether you got a favourite walk on the Isle of Man that you'd be prepared to clean up. What do you think about this idea? Validated footpath repairers. If the government got the insurance, and presumably somebody will be doing a risk assessment here and saying, if we let members of the public mend fences and mend paths, it only takes one person to trip over, fall down 20 feet of hill, and we're going to be in trouble, because we're going to get sued or we're going to get a claim from an insurance company. So all you need to do is to get actuaries together. They've done it for Homestay. And if there's a maximum of 20, 30 people who are qualified as volunteers and insured to mend the footpaths, will that be such an onerous task to organise? There's already a Facebook group for mending footpaths, says 695. Is that true? I emailed the DOI beginning of the year, says 180, and offer my services as a self-employed gardener window cleaner to clean and maintain the road signs and all the overgrown vegetation covering the signs. But they said a private company had just won the tender and was going to do the work. I personally haven't seen one person out doing it. The grip bin at the blackboards, an accident black spot, has been covered and inaccessible for 3 years. Well, I'm sorry, but I cover the whole island and I've not seen one person doing these jobs. Have you? Have you spotted anybody? We all know certain road signs that are covered in moss and lichen. You can't see the darn things. We all know road signs that are obscured by hedges and trees. Now, surely this isn't difficult to organise. This is not addressing the national debt, is it? This is just housekeeping. It's just gardening, isn't it? Isn't it something we can do? Anyway, thoughts on this? Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just on the other side of that thing, it's a box-ticking exercise in most cases with the DOI, and the answer, as you used to always say jokingly, the computer says no. And that's basically what it'll be coming out of government. It's an excuse to do nothing. And this rewilding, I appreciate it. I've always liked wildflowers, still do. But there are places that it should be done. And just going back to the other side of the coin where they're saying that they haven't got the insurance for it, does that insurance, where they are neglecting footpaths and encouraging people to walk on them, does that cover, or it's supposed to, public liability? But the question asked is, will it cover? Because if somebody gets hurt on a footpath where briars, and I say I used to go along them quite often, and the briars, they were like branches, and they would rip the face off you if you were on a bike or something like that. And they were vicious, and they were anything up to about 20 feet long, never cut back. So anybody gets hurt by them, and they turn around and sue the government, the DOI, has the insurance that the government got for public liability sufficient to cover what they term as neglect?
Yeah. Oh, Howard, before you go on, just had a word from the police. You're being urged to avoid Croncavody. There's been a road traffic collision, an accident around Croncavody. Carry on, Howard.
Yeah. Well, as I say, the other day I was up Douglas Head, and the footpaths there, well, let's say the part that you can look out over onto the green of Douglas Head there is always kept reasonably tidy, and that's with the Douglas Corporation. The lads who keep the grass cut, trimmed, etc. But again, that is to get the green flag. This is an award system where they nominate five places around the town, and they have these in pristine condition when the judges come over. But you walk down, and I said this the other day to you, just below the Trafalgar Memorial that's there, to the other side of that hill, there's nothing done. And the trip hazards there with the weeds and the briars, the gorse, and as the lady said to me, oh, you've cut the nettles back, thank you. It's just things that are not done. And this is something where they've got rid of the staff within the DOI, or the highway board as it used to be called, and all those lads worked in different districts, and they knew just where these problems would occur, and they were able to go around. Now you've got what they term as travelling foremen, sitting in the vans, driving around. They can't watch where they're driving, and they can't look to see what is missing. So this is where they're just driving past places that are neglected and going back to the office, ticking the roll boxes and saying, oh, everything's all right. But it's not. Everybody that goes around, walks around, can see that it's not. And the footpaths at Douglas Head going down from, I keep saying the camera obscura, going down from there, yeah, right down to the bottom where you go down to Port Skillion,
yeah,
is shortly going to become inaccessible. Because people are struggling to get up and down. And the lighthouse cottages down there now, they're used as holiday accommodation. There's people wanting to go back down there the other day, and they have to walk round the other way and come back in the far side. They couldn't walk down the lighthouse steps because it's completely overgrown. And there's nobody, you never see anybody about that'll do anything for them. And this, unfortunately, is the way of the Department of Infrastructure these days.
But the thing
they
is,
won't
the
get
thing
out
is,
of their vehicles.
The thing is, Howard,
and they
I
won't
mean,
look around.
You were in horticulture for a long time, and most people who are in gardening and horticulture love their jobs. They like seeing things done properly and neat and tidy. So it's not the boys on the ground and the girls on the ground. This obviously comes from higher up.
Oh, it does. There's very few on the ground now. You might see the roadsides where they go down with a tractor and a cutter on the side. They'll trim some of the sides of the roads. But these people never walk on the footpaths. Very rarely would you ever see one of them there. And they just don't know what the situation is. But one, you see often enough on the internet news, on Manx Radio and the other stations, and in the papers, the Courier, a certain bank has just done a walkway somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody else has put a bridge in recently, and it's all done by volunteers from banks, officers, etc. Now, is that inspected by the DOI before they open it up to the public? Or have they just sponsored it and got contractors in to do it?
Yeah, that's interesting. Or maybe they have volunteers from the organisation, from within the workforce, who just get the tools and do it themselves.
But they would have to be covered by insurance, which the DOI say they don't have.
That's amazing, because you're quite right. I remember when the Douglas Town, Development Corporation, whatever it was, the one that Chris Pycroft used to run, they had volunteers, and every company in Douglas put together a team where they go around and clean bits of Douglas up. They'd actually take care of little bits of the parks and what have you. And I don't recall them having insurance.
Gardeners.
That's it, yeah.
And the people were proud of where they lived and what was available and what was seen by the public.
I think everybody's still proud of where they live, Howard. It's just the people who seem to be in charge of it don't share that pride.
Well, we've got a classic example up where I live. During the last storm, there was quite a number of the wooden fences blown down. And the council, their word to the people who lived in these houses, we don't repair the fences. But it's fences that they put up. Anyway, there was one or two that I know of that were repaired, and they brought contractors in. So the contractors did the job, but they've left a load of the old fence posts and boards on the grass border. Now, the council workers, the parks department, are coming round and cutting the grass, and this has been here. They come round about once a fortnight, so you can say a month. They've been cutting round this timber, and the grass is now growing up through the timber, through the posts, and through the boards, but neither the contractors have been back to shift them or the council have shifted them. And, you know, this is building up rubbish, and where people will say, oh, I can't be bothered. The corporation can't be bothered, so why should I be?
And that's the key. That's the key. If suddenly people think nobody cares, then that's that's virulent. So that just goes through society.
It does. And that's what it's like a cancer going through society, and this is what happens. These boards are just going to stay there till they rot, or Eventually, the parks department, it is, that cuts the grass, will come up. Why haven't the lads that's been cutting the grass reported it to their bosses, who would have sent somebody up possibly to shift the stuff?
Yeah.
Or get the contractors who've paid to do the job, finish the job off.
Okay. All right, Howard.
Take care.
Good to hear from you. Bye. Thanks for being with us. 20 to 1 now. National Trust, says 883, National Trust across have lots of volunteers doing work on numerous things. So what's the government's excuse? Thank you, Mike at the Welbeck. Sue for Chief Minister. Yes, there are our Facebook groups for mending footpaths as well. And if you want to send me a link to that, I'd like to see that. The Island Games ladies semi-final is Isle of Man 1, Western Isles 1. Becky Cole scored. The passenger in my car took this photo earlier, says 722, this week on the way to Ramsey, on the main Laxey to Ramsey Road. Can you see the sign? No. The sign is in about a foot of hedge. You can just see the red exterior. Howarden Avenue junction with Selborne Road is difficult to get off in a vehicle due to the hedges growing over the garden walls, impeding pedestrians too. The Isle of Man has gone to hell in a handcart, says. Well, not quite there, are we? Kevin's with us now. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Andy. I'm just following on. It's always when David Quirk phones in, actually. He always reminds me about something I said. I phoned in, I think it was about a couple of weeks ago. I was talking about something that Julie Edge mentioned about training certification for gas fitters and gas
that's right,
engineers.
Yeah,
if you recall. I don't know whether she ever came back on to answer that. What I was going to say was following on from the lady that was speaking there about the footpaths. I think this actually could be in defense of the DOI, although I'm not totally sure of whether it is the DOIs involved or just the local authorities. But I can cite an example, Friends of Polson Park. Now, I know that there is a group of ladies there, and I know one in particular, in fact, related to the to James Davis, who, of course, used to be on Manx Radio. And they wanted to do some, I don't know whether it could be termed as guerrilla gardening, but they did want to help out and to keep Polson Park in good condition and tend to the borders and plant flowers. And they weren't allowed to do this. Now, they were stopped by Castletown commissioners. And I don't know why they were stopped, but she was quite upset about it, and so were the group of gardeners that offered their services. And I'm not sure that it is just a case of insurance or health and safety. I think it's a much wider problem that they have to overcome. And I think it's a case of supervision, because although you have people who might be able to plant flowers and look after Polson Park or maintain fences and footpaths, I think there's a wider element of supervision and also ensuring that what they are doing is actually safe.
Well, that's now, the key point. Kevin, you mentioned the word insuring.
Okay? Yeah.
Insurance, now, insurance is going to be at the back of everything.
Yes. Now, I actually spoke to Richard Baker this morning. This is just coincidentally. Now, Richard Baker is the head of the building control. Now, I'm a qualified electrician. And even if you're a qualified tradesman, and this is getting back to what David was saying earlier, even if you're qualified and you're able to do the work, maintaining the certification and having the correct accreditation and proof of that in place is actually very difficult. And I had this conversation with him this morning, and it's very difficult for even qualified tradesmen to maintain their certification and have their credentials verified so that they can maintain working. So I think to have members of the public working, sort of roaming free and doing work as they please, it's just not possible, because I think there's so many things now. Okay, about 30 years ago, or even 20 years ago, it would have been possible, but the world has moved on. And the case that Mr. Baker cited to me was Grenfell, and he said once Grenfell happened in 2017, the world changed, and the government in the UK drew a line, and everybody now has to be certified and proof of certification, and you just cannot have people acting alone or acting just on goodwill. Now, I know Men in Sheds do a fantastic job, and my father-in-law was with Men in Sheds. Now, whether they could undertake the works, I don't know, but they had a lot of problems even getting charitable status, because with the KYC, GDPR, health and safety again. They have problems even just running men in sheds.
Yeah.
So it's a global problem. It's not just... I think it's unfair to bash the DOI. I don't think it's got anything to do with the DOI. I have no affiliation to the DOI, but I don't think it's got anything to do with the DOI at all. I think it's more to do with local authority and central government. And it's not just our government, it's UK government.
Yeah, but by the same token, though, Kevin, 200... at the moment, 200 paths not right, or, you know, 200 paths have got things that are outstanding complaints of them. So if we can't have the public, if we can't have volunteers, somebody, we can't advertise walking holidays when 200 of these paths are not fit to walk down.
I entirely agree, Andy. I entirely agree. Now, I had a loose paving stone on the pavement outside my house, and I reported this to the DOI on several occasions, and it was never fixed. And I was in dialogue with Jason Roberts, who's the clerk of Port Eamon Commissioners, and he was very helpful. And this was over a different issue, not that particular issue. And it was only when he intervened that it got fixed by the DOI. So I know they do have their own problems to deal with. You know, of course, they've lost a lot of staff, and they have to... they're stretched as well. So I think they're probably contending with the same issues that I have to contend with. You know, it's the way the world has gone. Okay. No one can move now without coming up against bureaucracy and other issues. It's very difficult. But I fully agree with the footpath issue.
Okay.
It is a problem, but how we overcome it, I don't know.
Thanks for calling today, Kevin. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. It's 13 minutes before one.
The Isle of Man Creamery presents stress-free food shopping with our doorstep delivery service. In time for breakfast, enjoy fresh milk, cheese, cream, Noah Bakehouse pastries, bread, coffee, juice, eggs and potatoes delivered straight to your door every day. And if that sounds good, we don't charge for island-wide deliveries. Love food and drink delivered super fresh? Sign up and order online today at isleofmancreamery.com.
Meet Jane.
When Dad began forgetting the little things, we knew we needed help. Mum Benham walked us through every step.
Real stories, real solutions. Secure tomorrow today with Mum Benham.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
On the 10th of September, the Villa Gaiety is going back to Bacharach. A dazzling tribute to the 20th century's best love songwriter. Fall in love again with the timeless music of Burt Bacharach and experience his greatest musical masterpieces performed live by incredible West End vocalists and the sensational Magic Moments Orchestra. Make sure you don't miss out. Book your tickets online now at villagaiety.com. Back to Bacharach at the Villa Gaiety. Brought to you by Mowgli Events.
At 5:30, you can join me, Marilyn Crellin, for Jacques Lair.
I've often gone up and spoken to people. Have you ever thought about coming? So it's been a lot of word of mouth and talking to people rather than just hoping for the best.
Fast am I.
In Crinnet Celtic Gathering, it's running from the 21st to the 27th of July.
You might want to knit a gansey as worn by a fisherman.
That's all in Jacques Lair with me, Marilyn Crellin, today at 5:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
We were talking about Derby Square the other day and how there are no facilities for playing. Well, there aren't many facilities anyway, a few benches and that's about it. 051 tells me Derby Square is a Georgian square in a conservation zone, so it's not too far to Nobles Park for children. It's a way to walk to Nobles Park. Would there be any big issue by putting a small park, a play park, in Derby Square? It's a big area. I just wonder what your thoughts are. And is Derby Square tidy? Anyway, the steam packet quoted me £380 to change my sailing from 2 a.m. to 2 p.m. It was cheaper when I went online to buy a new single ticket by £90. We were talking about the fact that you get charged for changing your ticket, your itinerary on the steam packet now. I can't remember ever that's ever happening that much before. Oh, just regarding the Southern Ireland connection, I've had packages returned from error even after filling out customs form, says 033. Isle of Man Post Office, I think, are useless and not interested. Well, they probably disagree. I found that packages got through if the value of the item was zero, says David. Thanks also to Kieran, who dropped me a note in from Southern Ireland saying, I live in Southern Ireland. Our customs are a nightmare with post from the UK or Royal Mail. I could write a book on it. It's just since the UK left the EU. Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
Oh, disappointing today, Andy.
In what
way? I went across the promenade and the red and white safety tape on their missing railings has gone. It lasted a week. What can I say?
So what's there now?
Nothing. You can walk straight on the beach.
A gap.
Well, never mind. It's been like that for 3 years. It'll be part of the norm soon. Don't worry about it. I was just so I thought I was hedging bets it might have lasted at least 2 weeks, but never mind. Never mind. I'd have to put it in next year's capital estimates for some more. Talking there before, you're talking about looking after your own place. I mean, you look up in Onken, it'd be handy to ask David Quirk, actually, when he's on next, the amount of weeds and growing in the gutters in Onken is crazy, absolutely crazy, and I don't know what their plan is for doing that.
What do you mean in the street gutters?
In the street gutters, yeah. I mean, it's crazy everywhere you go on the pavements and down the gutters. In 2 months' time, you're going to start getting the rains coming, maybe in September, October, and you get some heavy bursts. So I'm wondering what's going to happen there, because there's been nothing done for a long time.
Yeah.
And I go out and do my own. I mean, I've gone out, done my neighbours, done my other neighbours, and do it, because you've got to. I mean, it's no good asking and phoning all the time. You just got to go out and do it sometimes, and better to beg for forgiveness than wait for someone to do it. And that's just where we are. I just don't know what the plan is with some of these councils.
I just wonder also, because a lot of the authorities seem to be, you often walk down and you see where the lawns are near pavements and what have you, and you'll see the edge of the lawn has gone pale, it's gone brown. That's weed killer. So they've used weed killer on the edge of the lawn, and presumably they're putting weed killer in the stuff that's in the gutters. So that's just going to go into the system. Why don't they just go around and burn it or dig them out?
And another thing, just on a side note of that, I believe they're putting root inhibitor on the plants that they're planting in Douglas in some of the places, because they're breaking the pots. Can you work it out? So this is why the plants are not growing when they bed them in, because they're putting root inhibitor on it. can you work out any common sense in what's going on anyway?
My word.
For Devon and that to come on saying that their scheme's working in Douglas with the lanes, I mean, all you've got to do, Andy, is just go and walk down the back lanes of Douglas and look for yourself. It's an absolute mess.
Well, you're talking about the fortnightly bin collection.
The fortnightly bin collection, you know. I think I should set a stall up outside the House of Keys with rose-tinted glasses, because I think I'd sell and make a fortune, I think, with these people walking into work. Because things are not like what they're trying to tell us they are. They're really not. And I asked Tim Krukal this question at the roadshow the other week. They stood up there proudly saying how they were dropping down the head count and saving on this and saving on that. And the question I said was, you're 4 years into your administration with 12 months left, and now you decide to do this. Why didn't you get a grasp of this right at the start? You knew that that government is overhead with people inside there. And the question was, there was also, well, the answer, sorry, was, well, a lot of this was with Manx Care. Well, where in Manx Care is it going? Where's it going to? Is it going to administration, or is it going to people on the ground floor? Because there doesn't seem to be any more people going on the ground floor doing stuff. It seems to be at a higher level. So again, we've got headcounts going in there, but what's it for? 6,000 people on a dental list. We're not going anywhere very fast here, are we?
What can't speak can't lie, and also when people are struggling to get a GP's appointment, this is, the officials and the politicians can talk in highfalutin terms about esoteric things, but everybody bothers when they get toothache. I mean, toothache is one of the worst pains. pains. It's short of childbirth, apparently, I'm told. But I mean, so nobody, when somebody's got toothache, they couldn't care less about anything else. They just want a dentist. And not to have enough dentists for the Isle of Man is surely that's a kind of basic human right, isn't it, to have enough dentists these days?
And this goes along with everything else. It's tidying up what we have, rather than going out and getting new stuff and doing new ventures. It's like this 1.2 million that they're putting on the promenade of the skate park. I mean, fix what's wrong to start with. You've got grass growing in the sand on Douglas Promenade. You've got railings missing. Tidy up what you've got and then look at spending on this other stuff, these grandiose schemes. You know, I mean, what is it now? We've got a minister with no portfolio, and we've got a minister for the Cabinet Office. Does that mean now that Comyn are up to 10 votes?
I think about so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting, that, okay. Isn't it? But what are these people doing? I hear the music. I'll see you later, Andy.
Thanks. Good to hear from you, Juan. Can the DOI get the person who designed the Paul Rose Bridge and Cycle Lane to organise the footpaths? I'm 1,000% behind what the lady just said, says Rich, about allowing the public to cut back overgrown DOI hedges and power some banks, picking up litter and the dog muck for free. Well, Michelle Haywood's on Man in Line in a couple of weeks. She was here a wee while ago, but we've asked her back in. She's in on Tuesday, August the 5th. So next Tuesday, the Chief Minister's on, and Michelle Haywood from the DOI on Tuesday the 5th. That's the week of the Royal Agricultural Show. That's it. If you want to get in touch, the email address is maninline@manxradio.com out of hours, or call the answer phone on 682-63. WINT.